Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and I'm here with my co-host, Karosh, and we are the Dog Driver Show here on Mushing, and we are welcoming a guest calling in from Michigan. I know we've met a few times over the last few years. It is a family affair with this group, Samantha Wawernia. Samantha, how's it going today?
Hi, it's going. It's nice and windy here in Michigan.
Yeah, we are facing definitely a low snow year here in Alaska. I'm sure we'll jump into that here in just a second. But let's jump over to Karosh. Karosh, what do you have for Samantha?
Samantha, good morning from snowless Alaska. And tell us a little bit about yourself. We haven't had opportunity to chat or to race together, but I've been following you on social media. Tell me about how you started and what you're doing in Michigan.
Yeah, I started racing dogs just more recreationally as a way to get my bear dogs in shape. I'm an avid hunter with hounds, and I found that if I can have a good lead dog, that my bear dogs would run in the team just as good as a sled dog. Maybe not just as good, but they'll stay on trail if they have a leader keeping them on trail.
So you actually started with bear dogs? That's the first time actually we have someone who started with that. Are you talking about Karelian bear dogs?
No, so I'm talking about the coonhounds. I had a black and tan coonhound and a blue tick coonhound and a plot coonhound that we bear hunt and coyote hunt with. And so I started running them in my sled team to get them in shape for hunting season.
That is so cool. You still do that?
I do. So my dogs now that I have on my race team are actually a little bit too fast for my bear dogs, like to hold that speed for the distance that we go. But actually, like all September, my bear dogs were running with my race team I took to the World Championship. Because our hunting season, training season starts in July, and then the hunting season starts in September. So all September, they were running and getting in shape, ready to go up to go hunting.
I got to see that. You and Trevor, you got to take me and watch. I want to watch that. That's got to be pretty cool. Are they big boys or no, smaller like sled dogs?
They're like the same size as the sled dogs that were racing, the Eurohounds that were racing. I've been trying to breed, because I've raised and breed the bear dogs for many years with my dad. And the way our sled dogs look, like their sleekness and how racy they are, that's the way I like my bear dogs to look. You know, because they could run for miles in a day. So I like a fast dog that can hold its stamina and, you know, run all day long and lots of drive.
Samantha, I love this story, how you're taking a drive of your dog and bringing it into a totally different environment in a sport. Did you fall into mushing by chance, into this type of sport by chance, or is this sort of just a natural transition, sort of like a cross training as we do? We might go to the gym to lift weights and go on the treadmill for a marathon or something like that.
It kind of was by chance. When I was a little kid, I had one of my neighbors took me to a sled dog expo. And so I instantly fell in love, which I've always been a dog lover because we always have had the coonhounds. And then when I got older, we ended up selling a black and tan puppy to a couple in Alaska. And they sent me down a couple, of their dogs that weren't making the mileage that they were running. And she had known about some recreational races in my area where I live. And so I ended up looking up that race and then going down there with those two dogs and racing Two Dog Bike Tour. And then I started dabbling with adding in my coonhounds. And that's kind of, I kind of just kind of fell into it. And I was like, I think my coonhounds could probably do this. You know, these guys will keep me on the trail and pull me by, you know, the squirrel and the deer and whatever else you might see out on the trail. And it kind of just exploded from there.
So as we talked at the top of the show, I've met you a couple of times over the last couple of years, mainly because I was saying your name wrong at these races.
Yes.
And we finally got that figured out. And here we are all these months later. But I know that this is a family affair. How do you guys stay so active together? I mean, you guys are doing all sorts of classes. You have your kids doing this with the husband and everything. I mean, this is a full deal, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a lot of support. Like I, at the World Championship, I had a lot of friends that came up and family that came up. And and then my race team, actually my neighbor who I grew up with, we started our race team together. And so then her husband got into it and, you know, her parents help us out when we host our race. And so it's just kind of like our little community here at home. Have been super supportive. And I think that's how we're able to, you know, go as a family and travel and race and, you know, do it all together.
That's fantastic. Samantha, if I understand correctly, you started racing dryland with those two dogs originally. When was that?
I think I've been doing this for about 8 years now.
Okay, so
honestly, the years run together, but more competitively the last like 3 to 4 years, because I actually have twin boys. One son races and one doesn't, and so on the weekends they had a lot of their sports because they're into all of the sports too. So I really wasn't able to get to a lot of races until the last few years when they've reached middle school.
So the area you are, what part of Michigan are you in?
I'm central Michigan, close to Lansing.
Okay, so not a lot of snow, mainly dry land then, correct?
Yes. We hardly ever have any snow. Maybe we can get on the runners a few times in like February and stuff. Now this year, I've been on the runners quite a bit here the last couple weeks because we got hit with a lot of snow the first week in December. Not a lot of snow opportunity.
Do you race on sled too, or mainly or only dry land?
Pretty much just dry land is my focus. My husband likes to go snowmobiling in the wintertime, so we will switch over and go out west and do that. And then I'll just, most of the time when we have snow down here, I will get the sled out, and then we usually invite neighbors or little kids from the community over and give them sled rides and stuff like that. So we just more have fun in the wintertime with the dogs and the sled.
And do you live in, I'm assuming you live probably in like farmland or rural area?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Farmland. Grew up on a dairy farm.
Okay. And then you train out of your yard, or you haul the dogs to a training track?
No, I'm able to train right out of my yard. The farmers around us have given us permission to put trails around the outside of their fields. And then my parents and my grandparents live next door, so I'm able to use all of their property, and they help me maintain trails. And, we can go right from the yard.
That is pretty cool. Tell me about your kennel a little bit. How many dogs do you have?
I have 12 racing dogs and about 10 of the coonhounds.
So you got 22 dogs total in the yard then? And are they together?
Some are penned up together and then some are separated. Just have different areas for them. I like to rotate them around too.
So, and they get along?
Yeah. I can box all my dogs together. That's a big thing with having the kids at home and stuff. I like to make sure I have really good temperaments on my dogs, just because having the kids around. And then, like I said, we have a lot of kids from the community come over and go for rides and stuff like that. And when I travel, I like to travel with my dogs together.
And mainly males or mainly females of the, I'm talking about the sled dogs only.
I got a mixture. Yeah, I got a mixture of females and males. And same for the bear dogs. I do like a good female for my bear dogs. I just feel like those are harder to come by. And, you know, males, you can use them all the time and stuff. You don't have to worry about them coming in season and stuff. I like to base my kennel off a good female, I guess.
Welcome to the Mushing Podcast. It's time for another memorable moment in mushing history. Sponsored by Peak Experience, providing experiential and team-building courses.
From November 1968, from Bella Lavorison, we glean the information that the team on the TV commercial running on the eastern looking lake is said to be Pete Shepherd of Fairbanks. That's the one where the noble-looking outdoorsy musher smokes the cigarette and then his team really takes off fast. From up in the Northwest, we get the news that the veteran dog driver, the West Coast's most famous musher of all time, Sid Doug Racine, is coming out of retirement to drive dogs again. He was in the first Palmetto Grove race back in 1952. Says his new team will be ready to face all competition, expects to get all the West Coast races this year, and might even go to St. Paul to show the Easterners what a real dog team is.
Let's switch gears here, since this is kind of a unique situation. I'm sure that people are listening are primarily dog mushing fans, but I'm really intrigued by this hunting dog thing. What does that look like for your dogs when you're going out on a hunt? You know, you got your gun and your orange clothes and you're cruising out there. Describe a hunting day with you and your dogs. What is their job, etc.?
Okay, so when we're bear hunting, it's usually in like dry ground and the summer into the fall. And then we drive around, look for tracks, or if it's during baiting season, you'll set a bait. And then we'll turn our dogs loose that are cold nose. We'll grind a track out. You know, they might be able to smell a 8 to 12 hour old track or older. And their job's to go out there and find the bear. And then we will send our other dogs in to them when they start barking. So my dogs I send in to them are the ones I found will run really good on my sled dog team. We call them pack dogs. And so then when I come up on another team on the trail, those dogs will actually start barking. So when I'm racing, if I'm coming up on you, you would probably hear my team barking.
And I don't know much about bear hunting, but when you're thinking about coon hounds or plot hounds or whatnot, their job is to sort of track those animals and then tree them or something. What are they doing to the bears? Are they strictly tracking them? Are they pushing them up in the trees, or what are they doing?
Yeah, I think it depends on the level of dog you have too, as far as how close they want to get to the bear that they're chasing. So their job is to go out there to find it, and then they will chase it. And then most of the time the bears will just go up the trees. You'll get a couple that want to stand their ground and stuff. And then a good dog will stay there and, you know, either A, wait for you to come in there and, you know, get them or call them off, or get the bear to go up a tree.
Cookie.
And then when they tree it, so their voice changes over to a different, they have a different bark for locating and then treeing. So you'll be able to hear that if you listen, you know, in the woods and stuff, and then you could go in there and when they're showing treed.
Is it that
when
sort
you
of,
treed.
Is it that sort of bay bark, you know, like a
yes.
hound dog does?
Yes. Yep.
Very
so they have like a bay, a locate, a strike.
Very
so you really
cool.
get to know the sound
cool.
of, the sound of your dog.
I'm extremely intrigued. Will you and Trevor take me if I come?
Yes, we'll take you.
Before we jump in, I'm sitting here in Feroche's living room, Samantha, and I'm looking around on the walls, and I see elk, moose, bear, buffalo, some African animals. the whole nine yards, a goat over here. Yeah. This guy is big time hunting. So I think he's serious. I think he's going to book a trip to Michigan before you know it.
Okay.
That is intriguing. Tell me a little bit about your dogs. Where are they coming from? Let's get back to sled dogs a little bit and the bloodlines and ages or so.
Yep. So I have a pretty young kennel. Been trying to build a six dog team for the last couple of years. And my mentor has been Mandy Collins. Most of my dogs have come from her. And then I have one of my leaders, and then one of my other dogs that my son uses are a couple of German short hair pointers, and those come from Darren Eskew out of Kentucky. And so those are the dogs I'm using is from Mandy. And I think they go back to the Cheswicks.
Speaking of Kentucky, when I was at the World Championships, I believe I met those guys. I think they're the only dog mushing group in Kentucky. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And they come up to support us. So he wasn't able to get out and compete to try and make it to Worlds. And they wanted to come, and they've helped us host our race here. And they come all the way from Kentucky to support us at the championship.
Yeah, he and that group is on my list to do a podcast, hopefully later this winter for sure. KP, what else do you have for Samantha?
I've seen some of the social media posts and pictures and events you've done, and it's like ISDRA parties and those. And tell us about some fun stories during races. Anything interesting and funny that you want to share that happened to you?
Yeah. So Ted Gerke, he's been another mentor of mine. He always wants to compete with me for six dog, and he wants to always come up with a bet. You know, if I beat you, you have to do this, or if I, you know, it's all fun and games. And last year, our race, he bet me that he would, if I beat him, I had to wear something, you know, that he come up with. And sure enough, first day he beat me on our first heat. And the next day he come up with these bright, bright orange pants that I had to wear. And so there I am out there on the race trail in these bright orange pants because I lost the first heat to Ted. And the first year he beat me the first day too that we hosted our race. And the second day we had a call, and I told him, he called the race because he was afraid I'd beat him the second day, right? And so then this last year, that's what he did. And then we went to the next race the following weekend, and I was like, he's like, okay, it's your turn to have a bet. I'm like, all right, you're not going to like what I do though. And I ended up beating him the first day. So the second day, here's Ted Gerke out there in a pink flowered muumuu dress racing his dog team. So that's just a little bit of fun we like to have. You know, it's all serious competition and stuff, but you got to have fun doing it. And so then we were at the World Championship here, and I come in after the first day, and he said, Sam, that's it. All bets are off. Rest of the season, we're done.
That is so cool. So, Sam, you just talked about the World Championship. That was actually my question. Tell us about the event. Obviously, you did extremely well in your class. Tell us how you prepared and how everything turned out to be at the IFSS race.
Yeah, so we had really warm weather here in the fall. So I actually built a homemade pool for my dogs and started walking them in that like 10 minutes a day. And then I did a lot of free running. I have these wide open farm fields here, so I took them out and free ran them to get them in shape. And then leading up into Worlds, I think we barely got up to our distance. I think the last 2 weeks I was able to get to the distance I wanted just because of the weather. I had a young team, so I wanted to take it nice and slow with them and not, you know, push them too hard because I didn't want them to get to the championship and, you know, get stressed out or whatever. They were all young. I mean, most of them are 2 years old and younger. So I just really made sure to focus on their exercise outside of pulling in a harness. So I think that helped me a little bit. And then I use the UP200 race that's in Negaunee, Michigan, as my trial run, which was the weekend before we headed to Worlds, and chose the dogs that I wanted to run, and we went, and then we ended up taking first, which was really cool. So then going into Worlds, we were feeling pretty good, you know, debuting at the UP200 with the team I had or whatever. You know, they did pretty good. So I will say the first training run I had at Worlds, though, was not good. So everyone was asking how it went. I was like, oh, it was fine, but it definitely was not fine.
What happened?
So one of my young leaders at the UP200 coming into the finish, she was like backing off a little bit. And I think just the crowd scared her a little bit and stuff. And she had ran lead in the springtime, you know, but they've been off all summer. It was her first race. And so I put her in lead on Sunday just to see how she would do. And she started backing off a little bit again, not really confident. And when I come home from training from the week in between, you know, I put her back in team and gave her a nice break from leading. And when I ran her that Sunday, I could just tell that she wasn't going to be able to do it. And I didn't want to chance it. So I ended up moving her sister up in lead, which will lead at home for me, but I never let her in a race before. So she ran Canicross for my son actually on that Tuesday, Wednesday, taking silver. And then I put her in lead on my six dog team and just hoped that my other leader would, you know, take her around the trail and not let her go down the junior trail, you know, cause you always worry about your leaders will remember the trail they ran the day before and want to try and go down there. But she was solid, bomb proof, and it just worked out. So I'm glad I ended up making the switch. So
for people who don't know about that race, how many classes did you run?
I just ran the six dog class, but my son ran the Canicross, junior Canicross and junior scooter. And then my husband ran the men's masters Canicross.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Good. How many
meeting
days did you
go there?
All the people,
you know, everyone was amazing.
How many days did you go there? Did you stay?
We were there, yeah. So we camped. We pulled in on like opening day, Saturday the 18th, and we stayed there all week. So we took the time off, and then I think we pulled out Monday morning that following week.
Right on. Congratulations. You did great, too. That was it was fun to watch all those teams racing each other and going at it.
All right, Samantha, yeah. I have some questions for you to ask all of our guests over on our other Mushing podcast. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, so the first one is, what is your favorite song and or musical artist?
I am a country girl at heart, so I am anything country. Not necessarily any favorite artist, but give me country and I'll be happy.
New country, old country? Are you a... I don't know, new country, Garth Brooks, Willie Nelson. Who is your go-to?
Yeah, I like all that. Garth Brooks, Willie Nelson, some new country, like Lainey Wilson.
Morgan Wallen.
Yep.
All right. Next one is one piece of gear other than your phone that you always have with you.
I would say a leash. So even when I'm racing, I have a dog leash on me. I just have it just in case I need to. I mean, I know we have our snub lines and stuff, but if I got to tie a dog off separately to a tree or something, and I think that comes from my bear hunting background, we're always walking in the woods with a leash or three or four with us. And that's just every race I go to, I have it.
Yep, I hear you there. Professional dog training trainer here for 30 years, and I tell every single client, most of these are pet clients, always have your leash with you. Even if your dog is very well trained off leash, have that leash tied around your waist or in a pocket or something. I'm sure that's good advice,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All right, next one is a fun one, and this is, what is your favorite road trip snack? If you're pulling into a truck stop or a convenience store or a fast food joint, what are you picking up?
I'm getting those Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, I love the Sour Patch Kids for sure. What about about your kid? Yeah. What is his go-to? Your kids, what are their go-to?
They are into those Airheads.
Okay.
That's usually their go-to.
All right. All right. Samantha, where are you most active on social? Is it Instagram, Facebook, or where?
I'm more active on Facebook, but I do have Instagram.
Okay. We'll get those links from you and put those in the show notes. KP, anything else before we go?
No, looking forward to go chasing bears with you, Sam.
Yes, looking forward to it.
All right. I love the connection. I'm glad we're able to touch base. On behalf of my co-host and our guest today, this is Robert for the Dog Driver Show. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.